Welcome to the People First Leaders Podcast. My name is Doug Utberg, Marine Corps veteran, and I have absolutely nothing to sell you. The purpose of this commercial-free show is to honor the leaders who approach life as go-givers by putting their people and customer value first. Stick around until the end of the show, and we'll reveal how you can be our next guest in about 20 minutes. Let's go! We have Jessica Nelson Cole with us today, and we are going to be talking about turning around a distressed or dysfunctional product team. But before we talk about that, I need to make sure we clarify what a product team is, because this is in the kind of digital technology space where a product is usually in reference to an app, as opposed to where a product is like a radio-controlled truck. But anyway, Jessica, don't let me steal your thunder. Please introduce yourself.
Hi, thanks for having me. I'm Jessica. I've got about 20 years of digital product management experience, and I'm one of the co-founders and the COO of the Product Consult, or TPC, as we like to call it, which is a boutique consultancy focused on providing product management optimization and consulting services to larger companies, startups, anyone across the board who's having challenges within their product management areas.
Excellent. All right, well, let's start with how do you see product teams go off the rails? And then we'll move on to how we can get things back on track.
How much time do we have today? No? Okay. There are so many ways. Product is a really challenging and nuanced role, and it's very misunderstood a lot of the time. And it also is differently understood depending on the company that you're at. So there's lots of ways that it can manifest, and there's lots of ways that it can go off the rails. A lot of times there is a lack of alignment with the company strategy and then how that trickles down to the product team and therefore how they're prioritizing what they're working on, what they're developing within the product. Oftentimes there's not a lot of communication in the middle there, and it can create a situation where you have the product team, you know, not working on the right things that stakeholders throughout the organization may want or that the business finds most valuable. That can create a lack of trust in product or, you know, a misunderstanding around what the teams may be working on. So there's a lot of ways that that can impact their performance. The other thing is that as product managers, we don't actually do any of the engineering or write the code. Yeah. So we are very dependent on all of the cross-functional teams and people that we work with that do those individual pieces that make everything come together. So whether it's software engineers, user experience designers, QA testers, all of us are interacting throughout the development of a product, right? And so we're only as good as all of that communication and the tools and the documentation and the level of detail that we share. So again, many ways that could go off the rails. So those are just a few kind of the bigger areas where I would start, but there are many more on the list.
Gotcha. Yeah, what I've experienced, and I'm permit me to simplify a little bit, but I found that especially if you're talking about any sort of technology type execution, there's planning, doing, and communicating. And technically oriented people tend to think about the doing and not as much about the planning and the communicating. And so at least what I found is a lot of technologically savvy people will tend to underestimate how long something will take because they'll just think about the doing, not necessarily all the other stuff you have to do. On the managerial side, it tends to be the other way around. Since you know how important the planning and communicating is, there will usually be a very robust plan for that. But sometimes things can be lost in translation in the doing, or you're trying to fit an artificial time box and you cannot leave enough time for the doing. At least that's what I've seen.
You're spot on.
All right. Well, we've just polished the problem very nicely. Let's talk about how do we go in for the big win?
So, yeah, and I think it actually ties back nicely to, you know, your podcast and People First. We come in and every situation is a little bit different. There are contextual factors that are going to make one situation and one set of methodology or principles that you could apply to those problems different than another. And so part of it is, you know, I call product management an art and a science. Lots of people might argue it's just a science.
I think the art is exactly.
But if you could know every methodology out there, and if you can't read the room, if you can't find the ways to talk to people that are going to resonate with them and figure out what's important to them and read between the lines and listen to what they're not saying and just understand some of that history and context, no methodology is going to solve your problem, because you're missing a whole big piece of what's going on. And so the scientific pieces, the process, the operational elements of product, when you talk about discovery and planning and execution and then measurement of results, and you iterate on that whole process, that's one element of fixing things and looking for best practices and areas where we can optimize how those things are working. The other side is largely the EQ elements, the people. So, you know, are people interacting effectively? Are they being heard? Are they being leveraged for what they know and the value that they can bring? Do they even know what the rest of the business is doing and why they should be working on certain things or why certain things are important? Are they talking to their customers? You know, do we put out surveys and then we get a bunch of results and we don't ever do anything with it? Or, you know, we don't dig deeper into figuring out what's going on or actually talk to users and hear how they're using our products. And so there's so many ways in all of those things that your interactions with people and how you can build really those relationships more effectively to get things done can really help. So we go in and we look at the people, the product, and the process. So there's three elements.
It's a very consultant way of doing things.
Isn't it? Well,
does it go into a 2x2 matrix like BCG?
No, there's not a matrix. No, but that's fair. I just like acronyms and I like naming things. And so and you know, I'm like,
I was going to say for the people who are listening that are not nerds, BCG is a reference to Boston Consulting Group, who is famous for displaying everything in a 2-axis matrix.
Yep. And there's a time and a place for a matrix, right? Mm-hmm. And we do, it's just more than anything, it's a guide to how we approach it. Yeah. It's never a one size fits all. And we tweak it accordingly, as every client is a little bit different. And I think that's why, you know, being able to go out and see all these different challenges and what's working and what's not in all these different organizations leaves us in a really unique position to come in and kind of grab all the relevant pieces and tackle those problems and kind of optimize for that set of circumstances. But the people part of it is huge. And then there's the operational and, you know, the process elements. And then, of course, there's making sure the product is actually serving the users and looking at feedback and data and ways that you can innovate and improve and grow there.
Got it. Makes sense. Let's go a little deeper down the rabbit hole, right? Talk me through how you get to like a really, really high performing product team.
Yeah. So it definitely starts with alignment, having a clear strategy and having everyone not only familiar with the strategy, but reminded regularly of it so that we don't lose sight of the bigger goals and the objectives that we're after is really important. When you're working on something for a long time, it can be hard to see the forest through the trees, so they say. And so that's one of those reasons why it's really important to keep revisiting that, keep making sure that's still the right strategy, the right goals, and then everything that trickles down from there rolls back up into that. And so you're working on ideally the right stuff and it helps you prioritize, et cetera. I think empowering product teams is really important. So a lot of times you'll have those goals and those strategies, but the teams themselves aren't empowered to actually come up with ideas and solutions and test them and try them to see what sort of impact they can have. They're kind of taking orders, for lack of a better you know, way to say it. And so it really stifles a lot of the innovation. It can leave a bad taste in people's mouths. They don't feel heard. They're like, why am I here anyway? If I'm just kind of, this is just a feature factory type thing. So that can create a lot of challenges. So I think really empowering people and giving them the space to deliver and the trust to deliver and be innovative is really important. I think that trusting people's skill set, you know, a lot of times, I think I did a LinkedIn post about this a while back of, you know, let people do what you hire them to do. Like there's a reason that you went out and sought this set of experience or knowledge. And then if they come in and you don't actually ever listen or take, you know, some of that experience and use it to your advantage, what's the point, right? So I think that that's a big part of it. And then I think making sure you're kind of right-sizing things for your situation and your time. So what worked for you at a different organization isn't necessarily going to work here. So make sure that you're not just taking all the foundational elements of product and trying to put a square peg in a round hole. If that's not what works here, get creative with it and, you know, take a piece of something that works somewhere else and integrate it here in a way that, you know, works for this stage and this organization so they can keep evolving. And then lastly, it's just really, you know, listen to your people and be flexible. high growth companies, especially the person that you might need today to lead this organization, you know, at a team of five is probably not the same person that, you know, is leading a 200 person product team. So there's a lot of things that happen during, you know, those high growth moments, and not being afraid to evolve and make changes and, you know, adapt to whatever set of circumstances are coming up, even if it's not where you thought you'd be. Those things are going to make you better off, because you're not kind of stuck in a legacy situation, and you're, you know, letting, you know, bringing new people on and seeking out the right expertise as you evolve.
Okay, so, got it.
Some of my recommendations.
Okay, so now I'm gonna take a little bit of a twist. Is there a question I should have asked you, but I didn't?
What is product management?
Oh, there we go.
So that question, because, you know, and I alluded to it a little bit earlier, because product is perceived a bit differently and applied a bit differently everywhere, there's just a different understanding of it. And so part of what can make a dysfunctional product team is having a leadership team that has varying understandings of what is product, how it should work, how it should be integrated into their company. And so often you can get off on the wrong foot and just, you know, start from a place that's not gonna turn out too well. So product ultimately is the glue, right? They're the glue that holds all these different parts of a business together. And, you know, they speak for the customer, they gather feedback, they look at what the business needs and what the business is trying to do. They look at the numbers and the goals, they look at the type of technology and the product that we're building and how we can make it better and how we can be more efficient. So it's kind of, it's overarching. It often PMs interface with every element of a business. And so I think that understanding of the role is really important. And then often looking at how it's living within an organization can help, you know, optimize or solve some of the challenges that product teams often have.
Got it. That makes sense. A little orthogonal to what you're talking about, but one of the things that I've lived through a few times is when Agile was coming on as the new hotness in how to manage product teams, what would happen is there'd be a top-down Agile implementation with no test automation and no continuous integration. And for people who are new to the technology industry, test automation is basically where you can have a series of tests for a set of software that get done automatically as opposed to manually. And continuous integration is where you can put a new version of a digital service into place without needing to take the old one down. Because if you don't have those two elements, then what ends up happening is you end up doing what's called waterfall development, which is where you just do, you know, requirement design, build, test, deploy sequentially. You just end up chopping that into little pieces and then calling it agile sprints, which I always thought was silly because we just took a waterfall process and added overhead to it and thought we were creating value.
That's very fair. I often will use agile-ish as the, you know, because I mean, I'm classically trained in agile. I don't know that I've ever worked in an organization that does it exactly like like another one, or exactly by the book as it was written then versus now. So it's always an agile-ish. It's part of what works for you. You know, the basic principles are there. You want to be flexible. You want to break work into small chunks and learn and iterate. Yeah. But you're also going to have larger projects where it's really hard to break it into 2-week chunks and continuously be releasing and not have, you know, there are platform level things that have to happen. So there's lots of stuff that doesn't fit into that perfect bucket either.
That was, I think, one of my other ones that I would consistently rail on is, you know, success is when you create something of value, not when you follow a process. If you follow the agile process perfectly, that is not in itself success. It only matters if that gets you to delivering something of value.
Well, the value is not in what gets built. It's what and gets used. Yes. In what gets used. Damn, it would have been better if I could have said that correctly the whole way through. and I can't remember who that quote is from, but it is a good one. And we just used it earlier today. Value is in what gets used, not what gets built. There we go.
Nice. All right. Jessica, really appreciate you coming on the show today. Let everybody know where they can get a hold of you and give us your last couple of thoughts.
Yeah, so it was great talking to you. I love talking about all these types of organizational and people things always. I think I love people first as your topic of the podcast is awesome. So thanks for having me. You can always find us at theproductconsult.com, or you can find me on LinkedIn, Jessica Nelson Cole, K-O-H-E-L. And yeah, I think at the end of the day, product is nuanced. It's relevant. You know, you apply it relevantly wherever you go, and it's, you know, often misunderstood, but when done right, it's a super, super valuable role in any organization and can lead to a ton of growth. So always, always happy to talk product.
Outstanding. Jessica, thank you so much.
Thanks, Doug. Nice to meet you.
Likewise.
Thank you so much for listening to the People First Leaders podcast. If you are a successful People First founder or CEO who would like to be on this show, please visit peoplefirstleaders.net/guest. If this interview resonated, would you please share it on social media? Just take a quick screenshot on your phone and post it on your favorite social channel. Then make sure to tag me at Doug Value so I can give you and your business a shout out on a future episode. If you know somebody who'd be a great guest, please tag them on social and include the hashtag PeopleFirstLeaders. I really love seeing your posts and guest suggestions. We're releasing new content and episodes all the time, so make sure to hit the subscribe button so you don't miss any new episodes. Your thumbs up, ratings, and reviews go a long way to help promote the show, and they mean a lot to me personally. And also, I would like to connect with you on social. My handle is at Doug Value, or you can just go to peoplefirstleaders.net where all of the links are posted. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you next time.